Hey everybody, this is Sam and Mike, the producers of Ask an Atheist, and we're here to tell you about a competition that we have been nominated for.
Yeah, King 5, the local NBC affiliate, does this thing every year where they crown the best of Western Washington on a number of topics, and we've been nominated for one of the categories.
Best podcast of Western Washington. This is King 5's Evening Magazine, Best of Western Washington for a whole bunch of categories, and we've been nominated for Best Podcast. If you're hearing this, you are listening to the podcast, and if you think we're the best podcast in Western Washington, by all means, please vote for us.
Yeah, this is actually quite a big deal that if you go to any restaurant, any retail store around the area that's won one of these, they always hang up that plaque prominently, and it gets them a lot of new business, a lot of positive attention. And if we win this, it'll be no exception. This would be equivalent of getting 5 atheist billboards up there. The number of mainstream attention we get, we get better calls, more emails, more listeners.
We wish we had a URL we could send you directly to, but there isn't one. So if you go to askanatheist.tv, home of Ask an Atheist and where you're downloading this podcast from, there will be right at the top of the page a place where you can go to vote. Go to askanatheist.tv, look for the link, and vote today. Good morning. It's one of those days. Tacoma is completely torn up. I apparently there was a windstorm that I completely missed.
Yeah. We saw some really awesome action on that bridge that they're rebuilding. Which bridge is that? The 6th Street? Where it's covered in plastic?
Yeah.
And all the plastic was flying away. We were watching it as we were standing downtown today. There was like fire trucks and everybody all over there. It was really cool.
That is so strange.
Earlier there were 6,000 people in Seattle without power.
Yeah, I mean, I knew it was windy. I didn't realize it was that windy.
Yeah.
So that's hyper-local for you. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. Now, it's been a bit of a day for me. I got kind of cold midweek, and ever since then, it's moving from place to place at a breakneck pace. Let's start out with a quick email, I think, just to warm up. And I don't know how I feel about this one, but this is from
Peter. I love it.
This is from Peter, and he's from the United States of America.
I'm sure it's from the Apostle Peter.
Oh, yeah, you might think, yeah. So, you know, the Apostle, well-known American, one of the finest Americans there has ever been. And his subject is why. And he writes, "Hi, why have you forgotten the true ways of the Lord? Is it true that some atheists drink animal blood?"
Can I answer this in two parts?
Absolutely.
Why have I forgotten the true ways of the Lord? Number one, I haven't.
I didn't think you would.
No. I mean, I read the Bible cover to cover 13 times, studied it for a 20-year period, averaging 4 to 6 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't forgotten any of that.
Yeah.
That, not at all. I totally remember.
How can you be an American and not remember the ways of the Lord? They're shoved down your throat every 30 seconds in this country.
And God We Trust is on the money. I mean,
mm-hmm.
What have you forgotten?
I learned them, and I just didn't think they were true. Sorry.
Yeah, well, exactly. And so that's we haven't forgotten. We just don't believe in them. Just like, I don't believe in kryptonite either. Exactly. Hi, Mike.
Why do you think the ways of the Lord are true? Do you have any evidence that you can show me that indicates any of this stuff might be? Let's take the ark, for example.
Right.
We now know the number of species and different things. And what we do know is, the ark, if you packed them in like sardines, I'm like flesh on flesh, the ark was not 10% large enough to contain the known species. Now, not counting the food they would have to eat, not counting what it would take to the husbandry skills involved in hand. I mean, we know for a fact that is bull.
Yeah.
We know for a fact that story is not true. We also can take DNA and come from the ark forward, and we know that it's absolutely impossible that all of humanity came forward from that point. DNA-wise, there had to be a much broader spectrum of humanity at that point.
So
we also can take it back to Adam and Eve. Still, wait. So scientifically, we can prove that your Bible, your Lord's true ways are not true. So my question for him is, why do you say it's true?
I got nothing.
Baby, you're so hot when you preach.
So what's what I and again, this is Ask an Atheist, 253-584 1480. I am Sam, and with me today is Rich Indiana. So I mean, I guess I get some amount of animal blood whenever I eat beef, because we don't do proper koshering, but
right.
I don't make a deal to have a goblet of blood every week. I don't know about you guys.
Is it true that some atheists drink blood, animal blood? Number one, I think he's confused here. Well, he's actually not talking atheists. He's talking believers. Mm. Those would be vampires. A vampire is a believer because he hates Christianity, and you hold the cross up in front of him, and he hides his eyes. You know, some vampire. It depends on your version of vampire.
Right.
But what he would be talking is actually a true believer, and that would be the vampire who is a true believer, which let me throw him a question. Since your Bible says that all you have to do is believe to be saved, what about this theoretical vampire who hates God but yet believes?
Fair point.
Is he saved? You have a problem with your Bible, because it is possible to believe and hate God, but the Bible says everyone who hates God is going to hell, but everyone who believes is going to heaven.
I can't counter any of that, except to say that Catholics actually drink human blood.
Oh,
hey!
The miracle of transubstantiation.
Fair point.
During the communion.
Yeah, that would be Catholics, dude.
I don't know how serious Peter was here, but if that's what we get anytime somebody tries to go Poe at us, I'm in favor of it. So we do have a couple of announcements. The first one is a quick one. Ask an Atheist now has a forum at forum.askanatheist.tv. You can sign in, discuss episodes, discuss other things. Mike has a comic book section. I have a video game section. We were talking about other shows that about atheism that we pay attention to. Living After Faith has been mentioned a few times now.
Oh, cool.
And stop in and let us know how you feel.
I'm there too. Argue with me.
Yes, please argue with us.
Anna loves a good argument.
The other thing that we're working on right now is the King 5 Best of Western Washington podcast. We were in first place this week, but one of the other, I would say with a slightly wider listenership, podcasts got notice, and now we're in second place. So if you haven't voted yet, go to our website, askanatheist.tv, and it's right up at the top. Just click on the banner, and it'll take you where you can vote. We could really use your help right now.
I'd like to encourage our Living After Faith listeners to also vote for Ask an Atheist. And we'll be talking about our partnership with Ask an Atheist in this show today. But we don't compete with Ask an Atheist. We're a subset. Mm. We realize that what we do is smaller than, I mean, you reach the entire atheist community. We reach a small subset of that. So a vote for Ask an Atheist, because we work together, is a vote for us. So I'd encourage all the Living After Faith listeners to vote for Ask an Atheist. That way we all win.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. We've always seen Living After Faith as fellow travelers, and
exactly.
You know, it's a partnership, yeah. We've always felt. So we've got a segment that we like to do, and we think this requires some music.
Mm.
All right. This comes to us from Ezekiel 23:19-20 of the New International Version.
Have we got the lava lamp going?
All right, well, sit back, relax, and listen. Yet she became more and more promiscuous as she recalled the days of her youth, when she was a prostitute in Egypt. She lusted after her lovers, whose genitals were like those of donkeys, and whose emission was like that of horses.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Methinks the writer of the Bible has spent way too much time looking at the genitals of animals that are unclean.
Yeah. I've had some friends who ride horses occasionally, and they would often talk about the tackle of the horse.
It's hard not to notice.
Yeah, it does kind of stick out there.
I'm just saying.
Do you guys remember the Ask an Atheist benefit around the time of the end of the world?
Yeah.
In May? Well, we signed a bunch of Bibles, and were they auctioned off, or they were given away to donors?
Yeah, they were.
So, and what one person out there has a Bible signed by the many of the cast of Ask an Atheist, and there's my name signed in there, and then somebody whose last name might be the same as mine happened to write this verse from Ezekiel in that Bible, and they put a little arrow pointing up to my name.
That was was all in fun.
I was wondering when we would get to this one. Especially in the new international version, the fact that they call it whose emission was like that of horses sort of reminds me of an FCC statute. So you have this great culmination of something that reads like an FCC law, but if you actually were to describe in detail what was going on, you would immediately
get right. Yep.
This is just a weird one. I apparently read the Bible, but apparently I missed all the good parts. I was just too young to get all this stuff.
There's
because
so much stuff in there that is so twisted and off the wall that if you pull it out and look at it just like this, you scratch your head and say, what on earth could that possibly mean?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Oh, that verse I've heard many times, but who are they talking about?
Israel.
Who is this woman?
The children of Israel. It's the Israelites. They were held in captivity in Egypt, which if anyone can show me an actual bit of evidence of that captivity taking place, be very interested in seeing that. It doesn't exist. But they were kept captive in Egypt, and that's because they were held captive because they went after other gods. So God, in his great wisdom, would put them as captives to other people who don't believe in him. Yeah.
I don't get it.
It makes no sense. So then they came out from there, and it's talking about how she's lusting for the things that she had, you know, as a nation.
So she is not a singular person.
No, she is the nation of Israel.
Wow, yeah. Okay. So is like Israel a cross-dresser? Because I was pretty sure elsewhere in the Bible it was described with male pronouns.
Most of the places, a lot of times she's a she.
Okay.
At least when
right.
she's being bad.
Maybe I'm thinking of some other country.
Yeah, well, at least when she's being
when
bad.
When she's being bad, she's yeah. just, okay. Ooh, man, I don't want to think about the sexual politics of that too much.
Yeah, well, you got a whole nation that's looking after, I need to use the exact wording here, genitals like those of donkeys.
Yeah, wow. A lot of these that we're getting are very junk focused. I'll give you that.
The Bible is very junk focused.
That's true.
Come on
that's
now.
True. Now, again, if you find a piece of scripture that you find interesting and want to share with the group, you can go to askanatheist.tv, click on the red shiny candy like button, and share it with us. And we like to say that non biblical scriptural quotes do get the quick track to the air time because we like to see those because we're all kind of used to the Bible. This is
right.
a pretty famous one. So,
oh yeah,
but we've heard
right.
from we've got the Book of Mormon a couple times. I think we might have a Bhagavad Gita quote in there somewhere coming up. So yeah, absolutely. AskAnAtheist.tv. Now we got a few minutes before we go into the break, but this week's episode we are catching up with Living After Faith. And why don't you give us a quick rundown of what Living After Faith is?
What Living After Faith is? It's a podcast that my wife and I, Deanna, do, and it starts with my story of how I was in the ministry for 20 years, raised a Christian, and then at 24 years old converted into a really off the wall Pentecostal church, became a preacher, became a pastor, led people, and then the discovery process of it was all bull of it just doesn't add up to the things we were supposed to believe. I reached this place where I had to turn off my ability to reason
right.
and just accept the fact that the things that they preached were true, even though it didn't add up in life and even though it didn't add up biblically.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally I got to the place that I realized it was harming people. And I looked at it, and biblically it didn't add up. So I began to debunk those things.
Okay. I've noticed that the suppression of reason is a pretty common theme among believers that I hear about when a lot of people come out of faith. Is that they say, yeah, there was a lot of things that I just had to accept,
right.
and I couldn't be reasonable about, and it actually suppressed my reason and made it harder for me to think in other areas.
Exactly. There was a phase that I went through immediately post-church where I had a very difficult time deciding, did something really happen? Was it just something I thought about?
Right.
Because you get your mind trained not to or you get your mind trained to reject things that are evidence that are true, and your mind kind of loses grip on things.
Sure.
So, yeah, I went through a period that was extremely difficult mentally and had to have help because I was so disconnected from reality, and that sounds like crazy, and I tell people, yeah, there was quite a bit of that.
Well, it's like the old trope, the mind is a muscle. If you don't use it, it atrophies. These systems require use in order to keep sharp, and if you're suppressing certain parts of your intellect, and then you have to start using them again. It can be a very difficult process to come out of that.
It was difficult. When I was in the church, everything was determined by the Bible, by what God said, what doctrine said.
Right.
When I came out, I had to make my decisions in everything. I had to make up what I said, what I believed, what I thought.
Yeah.
Had to come from me, and I'd never been there before.
Yikes. All right. We'll just continue this conversation in a second. This is Ask an Atheist. Our phone number is 253-584-1480. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
Did you know that not a single psychic or paranormal event has ever been reproduced?
Have you ever wondered about the effectiveness of faith healing, Reiki, or sports
bracelets? Was 9/11 an inside job, or is that all just another unproven conspiracy theory?
Come check out the Seattle Skeptics, a group focused on lively debates and a critical examination of pseudoscience, alternative medicine, and anything else that hasn't held up to the light of the scientific method.
Seattle Skeptics was created for those who require a higher bar of evidence than gut feelings or blind belief.
We're not contrarians or cynics, we just want to see the evidence.
And so should you.
Check us out at SeattleSkeptics.org.
That's SeattleSkeptics.org.
The end of the world is nigh. Millions will disappear in the rapture, and those left behind will feel the wrath of God.
So who better to help those people feeling the wrath than an atheist? We don't believe in God, so we're pretty sure we won't get raptured out of here.
You can help by donating to Rapture Relief.
We'll use the money to help those afflicted during Armageddon.
And if for some reason this all turns out to be just another failed prophecy, your money won't be wasted.
We'll give it to Camp Quest, which teaches children critical thinking and science so they won't be duped by religious fables in the first place.
Learn more at rapture-relief.org.
A satirical benefit for Camp Quest, brought to you by Seattle Atheists.
This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. My name is Sam, and with me is Rich in Indiana, and we are catching up with Living After Faith. So, where were we before we went into the break?
Well, one of the things that we haven't talked about really on our program, and that we thought would be an interesting thing to talk about, is a lot of people think that when I left the church, I became atheist immediately. I did not. Mm. In fact, when I moved to Seattle, I wasn't an atheist.
Right.
I went through a severe time of depression in Texas and realized I had to leave or I was going to die. I mean, I was suicidal. I just had to get away. So I left Marshall, came to Seattle. At that point, I was actually trying to find a hospital chaplain job, something like that. Well, they're all pretty much volunteers around here, so that's not a good paying gig.
Didn't you say something about trying to get a job in a Christian radio station, too?
I did, yeah. Christian radio station up in Bellingham, north of Bellingham.
No, uh-huh. That's part of the family radio rosette of stations, I believe, isn't it?
I don't know. Mm. I didn't think so, but it was a Praise something, or I don't remember. Praise 105 or something like that. I don't really remember. No. But went in there, tried to get a job, and they had a sales job open. I didn't want to do sales, so I didn't land a job there. But the interim time, I was still trying to be Christian, and was dating a woman. She said, some of my friends go to this church. It's kind of a big church, but it's got a small church feel to it. You want to go? Yeah, sure. It's great. So we went to this place called Mars Hill, and I have never been in a situation in my life where someone talked about my junk more in their 1 hour than I do in a year. I mean,
and he talks about his junk a lot.
That's saying something. I've hung out with you in a bar. That's a feat.
And I went a total of 4 times. It was this way all 4 times. I was like, you know, and I began to see that in different preachers, you can almost, you know, let me listen to a preacher preach 4 or 5 times, and I can tell you where his fall is going to come from, you know, just by
what's
hearing
he doing?
What he's talking about. So it was during that time that I began to life was kind of falling apart. Life was, you know, I got a job, I was working, I was having a hard time making relationship work, so many things were pulling from so many different directions that I began to question, and this is what threw it over the edge for me. I began to question the character of God.
Okay.
And I sat there in my living room thinking, holding my hands kind of like you're holding a globe in your hands. I didn't have a globe to hold. I would have. I'm like, what kind of being would create this from scratch? Has the power to do all of these scientific things beyond the knowledge of humanity right now? Do neutrinos go faster than light? We really don't know, but God does. You know, this kind of God. And he would create all the intricacies of science and all of this, you know, so specific that, you know, there's a specific worm that can live in the brain of a specific gnat. And, you know, it just all of these intricacies. And part of his plan is that he's going to torture, no matter what faith you believe, 2/3 of everything he creates for eternity.
Right.
Maybe more.
I mean, that was his plan from the get, and he got to make the rules. I mean, he could have made the rules where there's no torturing anybody ever.
And here's the thing, is it's not like this Gnostic thing where the torture is incidental to some other purpose. Is that in all these faiths, two-thirds of everything that he creates is tortured for the express purpose of torture.
Yeah. I mean, it's not corrective. It's not, okay, after 72,000 centuries of this, we're going to bring you out and ask you again what you think about that. See if you learned your lesson. No.
Right.
None of that. It's just forever and ever. No hope of reprieve. No hope of anything. Tortured, burning flesh, stinking yuck.
And it just works out, if you need a level of social control, promising eternal burning torture works pretty well.
That's powerful.
It just works out that what God intends to do with 2/3 of the population is exactly the kind of stick you need to bring people in line.
Right. And as I began to look at that, I thought, you know, I'm more compassionate than God is. If I were going to create it, I wouldn't make that stupid rule.
Right.
You know, and then I began to question what kind of God would hide from men and then only honor those who believe him based on nothing other than what one book says.
Sure, sure. I will go you one further, and I will say most religious people are better and more moral than
right.
their God.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's something we've said on the show several times.
So when I began to look at that, I was faced with a dilemma. Either, I'm watching my language here, either God's a bigger jerk than I am,
mm-hmm.
or he can't exist.
Well done.
And I decided he just can't exist.
Yeah, yeah.
And I looked myself in the mirror and said, that's the worst a human can be, because I was raised for my entire life that the worst thing on earth is a non-believer.
Sure, sure.
And so my first venture into non-belief is, here I am.
That's great. I mean, I talked about this on the episode of Living After Faith that I was on back in, I think it was in April, where after I decided that just being ethnically Christian wasn't enough, that I did sort of a grand tour of religions, is that I did some level as a teenager, so it wasn't really detailed, to be honest with you. But I went from religion to religion. I attended a bunch of services for the first time voluntarily. And, you know, figuring that, well, everybody believes in God, I suppose I should believe in God too. And then as I went on and I realized that God-shaped whole thing is a myth. Yeah. I didn't really have anything missing in my life. And how does that dovetail with
you? See, that's the deal. You create an emptiness. Now, most churches, and my church was no exception, dealt with, and the way I was brought into the church, and I don't really get into this much in our program either, I don't think. The way I was brought into the church, I had a gold manufacturing business that was going great guns, and the price of gold dropped.
Mm-hmm.
I was typical, I think, 22, 23 years old, and was making more money than a kid ought to make.
Right.
And then the price of gold dropped out, and I couldn't make the month's payments. it just went away. Everything no longer existed. So in 30 days, I went from making way more money than a kid ought to be allowed to have to nothing.
Yeah.
And at that point, my wife left. Isn't that the way it works, right?
But it certainly worked that way for me. It wasn't the gold rush for me. It was the internet rush. As I got out of high school in 1996, mm-hmm. and I was going to go to school, but then I realized that I could go to college and get a degree, or I could just take the job and make the exact same money. And I'm 23 years old. I had a house. I lived in Arizona. I was married. I had a new truck. And then, you know, the industry dried up, and now I couldn't make the payments on anything.
Yeah.
And... yeah,
exactly.
Nothing like money to ruin a marriage.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I got a job back at a radio station. A good friend of mine was doing a startup on a radio station in Marshall, Texas, went back to work, covering a county commission meeting, met this young lady who was beautiful, started flirting with her, took her to, of all places, Louisiana Downs, the racetrack.
Wow.
And she went, but she wouldn't gamble, and went out to eat afterwards. I wouldn't impress.
Gentlemen, that's a red flag, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm saying a lot of stuff about me this week. This is kind of out of character. But I used to work at a racetrack. I worked at Arlington Park in Illinois. Okay. And, I would take dates to the track, and we'd see a horse race. I like horse racing. I don't really bet. I mean, I'll do like token $2 bets. And I kind of, and that was the thing, is if the person I was bringing with me wouldn't even do a token bet on a horse race, it's like, ooh, okay, something's up here.
They've got a moral problem with it. You start wondering, okay, what else are they going to have moral problems with?
Right, right.
Gambling, it's a very minor sin.
And if it's a gambling addiction problem, that'll be noticed before we even get to the racetrack.
Right.
So it's not a gambling addiction problem.
Right.
So, because they're there. Because if it was an addiction thing, they'd say, no, we don't go to that. Like, okay, we'll go somewhere else. But then you get there and
So then we started dating. It's funny. I bought her some flowers. The way that happened, I came into her office the next day, or Monday, whatever it was, and she had fresh cut flowers on her desk. And I said, oh, wow, those are pretty. Who's it from? Dumb question, guys. You don't ask that question. But I did. And she said, your competition.
Oh.
I was like, oh.
She was smart.
So I went home and ordered her up a nice living plant, and I said, long after the competition's dead and gone, I'll still be growing strong. Smart, right?
Yeah, jingle writer. Very nice.
Yeah, so kind of made her office look like, a greenhouse. It was decades after we were married that I found out, decades after that I found out. The competition, the radio station across town, she won Secretary of the Day. I'm not making that up. But anyway, I was wounded. I was broken. I was poor. I mean, I had had, everything was going great in life. Then everything collapsed. And then all of a sudden, I go to church with this girl, and everybody just loves me.
Mm.
They just love bomb me to death.
The love bomb. Yeah.
And because of that, you feel accepted. You just go right into it. You're already broken down. They build you up the way they want you built. And that's the way I was introduced into the cult. People say, well, why'd you join a cult in the first place? Nobody joins a cult in the first place. You join a group of people who love you and are wonderful, and their lives are beautiful. And you look at your life, and everything is all torn up and messed up, and their lives are just beautiful. And you say, man, I want what they've got.
Yeah.
And buddy, that's when they set the hook.
The reason cults work, you're not joining a cult. You're not like, oh, I'm going to join the family, or I'm going to join the Brethren, or I'm going to join, Scientology. It's all, you're not joining some religion with a big capital title. It really is, alienation is a pandemic.
Right.
Everybody feels separate from everybody else. It's part of the human condition.
Yeah.
And when there's a group of people who accept you, who look like they accept you for who you are, it doesn't matter what they're calling themselves. You're going to, that's going to have an effect on you.
Right.
And that's clearly what happened to you here.
Here we are in Seattle. I finally admitted I'm an atheist. Didn't know what to do with that. Met Valerie Tirico.
Yeah.
And fabulous person. My first exposure of a person that I realized, wait a minute, if they were wrong that God's good, they're wrong that atheists are bad. Because this is just a good, kind, caring, compassionate person.
Yeah.
Passionate about the things she does. Good to the core. A man that I work with found out he was an atheist, and I'm like, he's an awesome guy. I mean, when I had some hard times, I literally lived in his house for a few days.
Wow.
And I'm like, this is not, these atheists are not the bad kind of people I'm thinking they are.
Yeah, yeah.
So I began to kind of decide, okay, I've got to live from here. You know, I had an experience where I stood on the Aurora Bridge. No cops were called. I didn't stand there that long. And I just habitually, I look at my phone all the time, and I looked at my phone to see what time it was, and I had a picture of my daughter there. And I realized, if I jump off this bridge forever, they're going to tell her, remember, if you ever leave the church, that's what's going to happen.
That's what's going to happen.
So yeah. I couldn't be the reason. I couldn't be the force that locked her in. So I decided, walking off the bridge, and that was a very profound moment for me, I said, I can't live. So I said, I can't die, so I have to learn how to live.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. And I started learning how to live, and that's when, shortly after that, Deanna comes into my life. And I was decided I was going to live, so my idea after work, I would get off, I would take my camera, I would head out, just me and my sneakers and my camera, and ride a ferry, go up the space, do something that right. this lovely area has to offer, take pictures, put a few pictures on Facebook. And because of that, I began to change.
So I became friends with Rich on Facebook. He and I actually met. I was at the radio station for a special thing. Normally, we work in separate locations, and you know, we met briefly. I don't even remember it, but he remembered.
I remember it.
He remembered the tight sweater I was wearing.
I remember that green, kind of bluish sweater. Yes, I do.
He friended me on Facebook, and I started to notice this guy with this this profile picture that it looks like a man standing with his arms up in the air and the sunshine above it. But if you look at the negative space, it also kind of looks a little bit naughty. That picture. And I actually said to a coworker, I said, hey, does Rich know that his profile picture, if you kind of look, it sort of looks like, and he said, oh yeah, he knows. So I started noticing you were putting up all these pictures, you know, the fall trees, you seem to be like out wandering around, taking ferry rides, etc. I was like, boy, that sounds like a really nice life. And I was kind of in a depressed place. And you sent me a message one day. And it was the first two lies, I think, that you've ever told me.
In one sentence.
And you said, hey, I just looked at your profile, and I saw that you're a skeptic and a free thinker, and we really need to get together. I swear I'm not hitting on you. I'm old enough to be your grandfather. And that's the first two lies right there. Oh, yeah, he was hitting on me. And number two, he was not old enough to be my grandfather, just old enough to be my father.
Right.
Well, you're walking a delicate line there. You don't want to say, "Oh, I've been reading you on Facebook obsessively for the last week," and it's you do that when you have a crush on somebody. But if you admit that, you sound like a complete creepster.
Yeah.
And it's kind of sucks. But
well, I focused on the fact that she was a free thinker. I had not really met the free thinking community here, the atheist community. I had vaguely knew that it existed, didn't know how to connect in, and was actually a little scared. I wanted to meet people before I walked into a organization.
You know, I can see how that can be a little intimidating.
Yeah, I mean, I'm back here with the guy with Peter, you know?
Yeah.
Do you drink animal blood? I didn't know.
Well, the first meetup I met you at was a Seattle Skeptics, and that is the intimidating, that intimidates the intimidators, the Seattle Skeptics meetup. That's where people really sharpen their rhetorical blades, and I was like, and you were telling a bit of your story, like, and wow, he's telling it here. He's kind of asking for it a little bit. And so I was like, I want to watch this guy. This is going to be interesting. And that was actually the first time I met both of you was at that one meetup. So, Seattle Skeptics.
Blue Star, right?
Yeah, the Blue Star, yeah.
The Blue Star.
I don't think they meet anywhere. I think they meet somewhere else now.
Yeah, they are down in Pioneer Square, a little south of Pioneer Square. I believe it's Tiki Bob's Cantina. It's a much bigger space, better sound system than the other one was. So more skeptics can go to the Seattle Skeptics meetup.
It's a fun one.
Hint.
Anyway, I met Deanna and realized another lovely atheist, a person who I was beginning to realize you don't have to have God to be good. And then beginning to realize even more there's more incentive to be good without God.
Right, right.
And that is, we get one shot.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere across this, I read a quote from Penn Jillette. And he said, I don't have the, and I'm paraphrasing here, that he doesn't have the freedom of being forgiven for everything, so he has to try to live life in a way that doesn't offend you the first time.
Absolutely.
And I love that quote. I love the way that spelled it out, and began to think that if life is going to have meaning, it's going to be the meaning that we build together instead of being de facto handed a meaning in a book.
This is the thing that believers really don't understand when I say this, is that the fact that I am responsible for everything that I do, mm-hmm. that when it comes to my behavior and how I choose to interface with the universe, the buck stops here.
Right.
That's freedom.
Exactly.
That is freeing. And I feel way more in charge of my life and way more, and like I can do something, like I'm going to be an effective actor, than compared to the way I hear religious people talk about being under the yoke of God or being a slave to Allah, yeah. or anything like that. And I don't understand why that's considered a superior alternative.
Yeah.
Just wait and pray and God will do things for you. I mean, that's the ultimate in slavery.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get to make any of your own decisions. You don't get to live your life. You just wait for God to tell you what to do, or... I don't know.
Yeah, I think, it, you know, being a good member of the community is only meaningful when you have to make the choice to be a good member of the community, not when you're facing eternal hellfire when you choose not to. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. We are catching up with Living After Faith, and we'll be back in a couple minutes.
Secular humanism is a non-theistic view of the universe built on a foundation of reason, science, and democracy. Humanists support intellectual freedom and critical thinking, and we hold that human beings are autonomous centers of moral development. The Humanists of Washington is the oldest humanist organization in the state and offers a community of free thinkers who educate the public and celebrate life. For information on how you can be a part of the humanist activities in the Puget Sound area, become a member of the Humanists of Washington today. Visit humanistsofwashington.org.
Tacoma Telematics wants to help you connect with your clients. We can give you a top-notch web presence. Tacoma Telematics can take your website to the next level and make it an essential part of your business marketing, but that's not all. Want VoIP? We've got it, bringing large corporation phone systems capability at mom-and-pop prices. We build intuitive interfaces to help you manage your resources quickly and efficiently. Take advantage of our holistic approach to make your business communication succeed effortlessly. At Tacoma Telematics, we're committed to personal and professional integrity, open communication, and long-term relationships. See us at TacomaTelematics.com.
Join us after today's show at the Office Bar and Grill in downtown Tacoma. Offering a wide selection of tap and bottled beer, a full bar of your favorite liquor, and a taste bud tantalizing menu, come on down and shoot the breeze with the Ask an Atheist crew. Who can argue with your motives? After all, you're at the office. The Office Bar and Grill is at 813 Pacific Avenue in Tacoma.
If you long to escape the religious bias on your television, if you love scientific shows, if you think that funny and thought-provoking are not mutually exclusive, then we'd like to welcome you to a network made with you in mind. Secular Video Network is an online source for free-thinking programs. We feature a range of videos from Mr. Deedy, The Thinking Atheist, and Richard Dawkins. While watching, you can participate in our live chat for engaging discussions. There is no cost, there is no proselytizing, just non-stop thought-provoking shows. So visit us at secularvideonetwork.com.
This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. So, to sort of bring it back, there's a question that we've been meaning to ask you. If you could hop in the TARDIS and go back in time, and sort of meet your younger self, what would you say? How would you interface with that guy?
You know, it depends on at what phase I could go. If I could meet him, say, the day before he went to church his first time,
mm-hmm.
when he was still young and impressionable, I'd say, hey, look, I'm you, but you don't know it, and you really don't want to do this. I mean, you know, you'd be much better off to go anywhere in the world, leave this town, go away, start over. And, boy, knowing me at that age, I don't know what I would do.
Yeah.
But if I went back and met me, the preacher, me, the pastor, even if I told him intimate things that only I could know about myself, I would totally reject that presence. As
yeah.
an apparition from Satan with knowledge that spiritual beings could have sent to destroy me.
Oh, I hadn't even, because I'm asking that question, like, what would I do? And I hadn't even considered that, yeah, you'd say.
I would totally say, you are a demon from hell, you are here to distract me from what I'm doing, and would totally take it as a reason to continue and to be motivated. I would consider that I had attracted the full attention of hell to the point that hell was doing miracles to try to sidestep me.
Well, you were doing so good,
yeah.
it has to stop you.
Yeah. I mean, you were... you were not just, you were in charge of a church. You had people yes. listening to you, looking to you for moral guidance. And then that totally plays, you're basically in that position. You are unassailable in many ways.
Exactly.
And the only way to get there is through this path. Hooray for experiential knowledge here, because this is what we're talking about, is the only way you could get here is by living through what you lived through.
Right.
And it hurts, and it's a long road, but you walked it, and I think you're a better person for it.
No doubt that I'm a better person, and a happier person.
I have a lot of fun hanging out with you, that's for sure.
Person.
So living after faith, how did this path lead to this incredible podcast that you guys work on?
That really had more to do with Deanna than it did me. When it first started out, everybody called it my podcast. I was real quick to say, no, our podcast, even though the first few episodes was just me talking, because actually we started out producing. I used to do big voice guy type work,
yeah.
You know, like the Ask Me, End of the World is Nigh.
Yeah.
So I was doing an intro for a podcast she was going to do.
He started working, editing the music for it, and my podcast I'd still like to do, but I don't have time to listen to podcasts so much anymore, and the whole point of what I wanted to do was a podcast where I go through and kind of review what's happened on the last week's Skeptical and Atheist podcast. I wanted to call it the Skeptical Podcast Review Podcast. So, you know, someday it may end up happening, but, you know, we started thinking and talking about podcasting, and he helped me, you know, put together the intro and stuff, and we were just kind of, you know, talking about it, and realized that he needed to tell his story, and I know a book was kind of what we were talking about for a while there, but you know, audio is really his specialty.
That's what I did.
Yeah.
He's the best editor I have ever known. Just
you are
amazing.
Very good. And, you know, I mean, like, even with Ask an Atheist, we started out on cable access television. You were helping us out there. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. But radio really was my first love. I love radio. And yeah. not just the production end of it, but even the theory. I got my ham radio license when I was really young. And I love being in, I think this is the perfect medium for the atheist.
Oh, absolutely.
Movement. Yeah. And another thing is the reason I got involved in this project is I was doing kind of, not exactly the same, but a podcast in a similar vein. Uh-huh. It was called You Are Part of the Problem.
Oh.
And it was an atheist podcast that was specifically for people who are already atheists
uh-huh.
and how we can best put our arguments in the public space.
Oh, cool.
And we've taken some ideas from Part of the Problem,
right.
But Ask an Atheist has really turned into a different into a different entity. So you were starting out with like a review podcast, which I could really use right now. I mean,
yeah.
Having to produce a show and then trying to keep up on shows at the same time is difficult. So that's a good idea.
Yeah, you know, double speed can only help you so far as listening to them. And my idea was that I was at the time listening to probably 40 or 50 podcasts a month. And
right.
That was a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had a good long bus ride, and I also had a lot of little breaks at work where I would listen to, like, you know, 10 minutes at a time on double speed. That's 20 minutes. That's a lot of time in podcast land.
And then it turned into, you know, you have this great story, and when you've got a resource like that, you have to use it. So now you guys have been at it for a year.
For a year.
Mm-hmm. And how's that looking, and where do you think you're going from here?
Well, you know, now that we're with Dr. Dale Ray, RecoveringReligionist.com, we are really branching into some new things. Where the podcast, of course, is going to stay pretty much like it is. We're toying with some ideas about going in some different directions with the podcast itself, but we're looking more at being more involved in developing community in
cool.
the atheist network. You know, my background as a pastor, there are so many things that churches do well that need to be done.
Yeah.
And we can't tell people, okay, we've showed you the Bible is a bunch of bull. We've showed you Noah couldn't have possibly done the whole ark thing. Didn't happen. We showed you through the DNA that Adam and Eve couldn't have been. I mean, we've showed you that so much of it scientifically doesn't balance. So you have to throw it out. So people aren't going to leave just because they're not going to leave their family, their community, the world that's there, and their support network.
Sure.
For nothing.
That's something we want to work on too, and
yeah.
I think we're working on that together. It's just building sure. a community out of the show we've got here. Now we've got a call. This is Jeremy from St. George, Utah, and he'd like to talk about an ex-Mormon perspective. How you doing today?
Hey, Sam. How you doing?
Very good. Very good.
I had two things. I've been listening to your broadcast. I wanted to share a little bit about my perspective in leaving Mormonism, and then also I wanted to answer your TARDIS challenge question.
Okay.
Love the Doctor Who reference.
Thank you.
I was born and raised in a Mormon family. In fact, we were so into it that, I mean, I have members of my extended family who are even polygamists, so pretty into it. I served a mission when I turned 19. I went to New York. I got back a year later. I got married in the temple in Utah. So, I mean, I was pretty into it. And then kind of skipping the whole drama of why I left, once I left faith behind me, my first real experiences into delving into the not only the atheist community but the skeptics was actually the Thunderfoot and Venom Fane X drama that was going on YouTube years ago. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. And in fact, I'd like to mention that I interviewed Thunderfoot a couple weeks ago, and we're going to be airing that on the show in a couple weeks. So
cool. Yeah. Just the whole thing that happened before Sean left YouTube the first time, that drew me in. And from there, I got connected with the atheist experience in Austin.
Great guys.
And you know, all of the connection videos. I found Christopher Hitchens, which just from there, it was downhill.
Oh, yeah, that happens a lot.
Yeah, that's the usual path.
Yeah, and listening to Christopher Hitchens, even though I had already listened to Matt Dillahunty, and after listening to him, I really thought, I think I might be going to hell for this. But Hitchens was the quote, worst. Listening to Hitchens really made me think, oh my God, I am going to burn for this.
Oh, wow.
And because I really considered his arguments really thoughtfully. And he's got hours of YouTube videos, so...
Sure, I mean, there's a reason they call it Hitch-slapped. I mean, he's really, yeah. he thinks about this a lot, and he thinks about this from a perspective that a lot of people don't have.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
That's interesting, because it's a path, it's nice to hear, because it's a path to sort of free thought via the stuff that, you know, the atheist experience and living after faith and Ask an Atheist are trying to do. And that's kind of, I have to admit, sometimes that's gratifying. Sometimes it's scary, because I feel like I might be, I'm never really intended on being evangelical.
Yeah, you know, I think a big part of what makes things welcoming and it's okay is that people go, oh my gosh, it's okay to be an atheist, because there are other people out there who are atheists and they're talking about what they're doing. So, you know, just knowing that it's an option and it's not this bleak, horrible, scary, awful thing really kind of gives people license to start exploring whether, you know, they really believe in God or not.
Hey, can you cut the volume on your stream up down a little bit? Hello?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, because we're getting some echo.
I don't have it on.
Yeah, I was afraid of that. Okay, so the TARDIS challenge, what do you have for us there?
Yes, the TARDIS challenge. Okay, so if I were to go back in time with the doctor or whatever, and if I were to be able to confront myself, first of all, I know that I would probably, my old self would probably think the same thing that Rich said. I would probably surmise that I was an agent of Satan. So in order to counteract that, what I would do is, I don't know how much you guys know about the Mormon temple ceremony. I know you probably know a little bit. But in the Mormon temple, they give you certain handshakes and hand signs and gestures. And they actually tell you that if an angel of the Lord appears to you, that you can know that they're from the Lord by exchanging these handshakes. Because
wow.
An agent of Satan is not able to give you these handshakes. This is literally something that Mormons are told in the temple. So I would give myself the handshakes.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's awesome.
The handshake. By doing so, I would gain my own trust by saying, look, I'm not an agent of Satan, because an agent of Satan can't possibly give you these signs.
That's...
Then I would proceed to tell you, sorry to say that I've sort of manipulated you. There might not actually be a God. I don't know, something like that. But
that's good.
Start there. So that's
interesting, and that has, I mean, I think it would make you make the story you're telling a lot more believable. But then again, yeah, there might be, you'd have to say I have this signal, but I don't actually believe in this stuff. That's very interesting. Well, thank you for your call, but we're running to the end of the hour, so we're going to move on.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
That's a pretty good story.
That's very good. We didn't have secret handshakes, so
yeah.
that wouldn't work. But I did not know that about the Mormons, and that's pretty good.
I had heard a little bit of that, but I mean, I lived in a very Mormon area for a long time, and so you would hear bits and pieces of stuff like this, especially from ex-Mormons, is that they, you know, some of them like, I want to tell you all the secrets, and everybody in Arizona is like, heard it. But I was new, so this is all fantastic to me.
Oh, and Libby mentioned, I think, last week when we were on about the name, that you have a secret name.
Yeah, the secret code name.
Yeah. I love that. It's such a fun spy game. It's all Mission Impossible.
It's very hackers, too. I'm not anybody unless I have a handle. You know? Right. Have you seen Hackers yet?
I have not seen Hackers.
Okay.
I'll put it on the list.
I don't know that you should, but one of the things...
We should put a plug out there for, you know, during the 20 years and a few years after that I was in the church, I did not watch any movies because that was one of the things our church, no movies, no television, no secular radio. Even though I worked in secular radio, I couldn't listen to secular radio.
That's so weird.
It's bizarre. But so if you've got movie suggestions that go back from, say, anywhere from, say, 83 forward, mm-hmm. Send them in on either the forum or to an email there at askanatheist.tv.
We have a blog post that we've been using sort of as a repository for this called Plug Rich's Hole, and it's, you know, Mike wrote it, and there are tons of comments there. It turned into a pretty big discussion thread, so I will link back to that post.
Perfect.
So we got a few emails. I want to read one before the end of the hour. And this, it goes like this. Rich, I really enjoyed your commentary with the Ask an Atheist show this week, especially the parts about your churches hiding the crazy until the fish got hooked. I didn't grow up very religious. I actually got kicked out of Bible study as a child for asking too many questions. Oh, boy, I know that one. even so, my lukewarm Protestant mother and the culture in general gave me the impression that there must be something to this God thing. I didn't actually start examining religion and my beliefs until I was targeted by evangelical fellow soldiers in the army. Wow, okay. I was invited to attend Catholic and Baptist service at the post chapel. I still didn't get it. I didn't see any gods around, and none of the people I talked with seemed to have a clue. I was finally invited to visit the Pentecostal services one evening. What a freaking hoot! They were dancing around, singing Getting Slain in the Spirit, rolling around on the floor, and babbling incoherently. Now I understood. It was all a big act. That church service was the beginning of my journey to atheism. Smiley face.
I love that email. That is great.
I can totally see that, and you know, from... I can see it from both sides. When I was inside, that's what I called good church.
Yeah.
When you could get people so manipulated and twisted and wound up that they're rolling in the floor and thinking that's a good thing.
Sure.
Yeah. Babbling incoherently and thinking that's the most glorious thing that can happen. I mean, you've done something. You know?
Yeah, you've made it's like you've seen Jesus Camp, right?
Yes. And I haven't.
Oh, you've
Oh, good. Heard about it.
Oh, yeah. You heard about
it. We're waiting on that one until we feel less vulnerable.
I can I saw understand.
And it hurt, man. Oh, I cried.
It would take drugs for me.
I think everybody cried the first time we watched that. Yeah, I freely admit absolutely. It. Well, she was talking about how, you know, they call the churches where they don't do that dead churches.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's we did. Totally.
It's amazing to me.
Absolutely. We even had an outreach to churches in our community where we would take our praise and worship team and start their midweek services for them to teach them how to praise and worship so they wouldn't be dead.
Sort of like a sous chef of...
Why not? Absolutely the truth, yes.
It reminds me of... I've spent a lot of time around small children and how you, like, you borrow somebody's kid and then you run them around, you give them cookies, and you chase them around the floor. You go, I'm going to get you. And you get them all wound up and then you give them
here you
back.
Go. Here you go. I love doing that. I'm so mean.
Yeah.
So we've been talking about Living After Faith, but we haven't specifically said. You can go to livingafterfaith.com. It's a podcast.
Yeah. It is a podcast. You can click the individual episodes and listen to them online, or you can subscribe through iTunes or through the RSS feed. And
through Zoom software as well.
Yeah, the techno babe here said all that. I had no clue. That's smoke
and
mirrors.
Yeah, we talk a lot of technology, you and I. So.
Yep. We're on Twitter at LAF with me, which is laugh with me, our tagline.
How is Twitter working out? I get confused by it.
You know, so. I pretty much just use it to post, you know, new episodes coming up and, you know, let people know what's going on. That kind of stuff. Like, you know, today I tweeted that, hey, we're going to be on Ask an Atheist with a little bit.ly link to it. And, you know, I occasionally will answer other people's, tweets, but, you know, I don't really get into big discussions or anything just yet. I figured, you know, everybody's got enough stuff to read atheism-wise on Twitter.
Yeah. There's a lot of atheism media out there.
Yeah.
So,
there's a couple of cool things coming up. One I want to mention, Rich is going to be speaking in the Seattle area at this church in Kirkland. It's a Unitarian Universalist church. It's called North Lake UU, and that'll be Sunday, October 2nd at 11 a.m. So if you're in the area, Rich is going to give a little talk about living after faith. And
if it's at 11, it doesn't conflict with listening to the show. So you can do both.
Absolutely.
Well, we have been wanting to get you guys in the studio together for a while, and Living After Faith is a great show, and I love talking about it. And like you said, we are definitely fellow travelers in this case, and we were partners and we work together, and it's pretty good. I want to change things up a little bit and maybe use some different music. This is Ask an Atheist. It's a production of NEDM Media. You can leave us a voicemail at 206-420-0997. My name is Sam Olvey. In the studio with me today were Rich Lyons and Deanna Joy Lyons. Our music is by Chris Coleman and Nick Chapman. This track, our call screener was Jerry Schiffelbein. Our production assistant is Rebecca Friedman. Again, you can reach us at askanatheist.tv. We'll be at the office in about an hour. You guys have a good week. Rock over London, rock on Chicago. KLAY, your conversation station.
This is KLAY, Lakewood, Tacoma.